Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You want to know about this matchup this week? You concerned that the Vegas odds makers are making the Raiders a little too close for comfort in this game? We got the answer. Better call Paul.
Very good.
Very good. The latest news and analysis on your green and gold? Well, we better call Paul.
Green and Gold analyst Paul Immig is brought to you by Sprinkler Fitters Local 183, protecting life and property in Wisconsin since 1906. For career opportunities, go to sprinklerfitters183.org.
Green and Gold analyst Paul Immig joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Paul, it's mid-October, and I'm sure the last time you slept a full night was like August. So how you doing after 6 weeks of the season?
Well, hey, man, I predicted somewhat boldly that I thought this was going to be a really big year for the Packers. Bill and I talked about, you know, at first it was like, you know, back in May and June and July, is this a top 15 defense? And I said, you know, Bill, Za'Darius Smith, Preston Smith, I mean, we don't know a lot about him yet. Keep in mind, this was months ago. We don't know a lot about him yet, but I really think there's a big additions. I think Mike Pettine has his guys. And now we're talking about a top 10 defense and about a 5-1 team that is at home against a pretty stinky Oakland Raiders team, should be 6-1. Patrick Mahomes goes down last night. That gives you a better chance on the road in Kansas City, certainly, maybe 7-1. Carolina is not far off on the schedule in early November. There's no Cam Newton. Yeah, Kyle Allen looks okay, but, you know, I mean, so – in terms of, like, maybe where expectations were for most Packers fans, which seemed, you know, a bit on, like, the pessimistic side of the pessimistic-optimistic meter a few months ago, it's been interesting and different to have a Packers team that I think is actually playing, you know, in my opinion at least, an excitable level of football, and in a style in which we haven't really seen a Packers team being led defensively in a while. So, and now, and on top of that, Aaron Rodgers sort of looks like Aaron Rodgers again for the past couple games. So, I mean, it's enjoyable to watch this type of football, that's for sure, compared to the last 2 years.
And to me, Rodgers doing the thing he did with Lazard at the end of that Lions game was one of the most encouraging things I've seen in a long time. Because, and I mentioned this right at the start of the show today, it takes me back to Jeff Janis in Arizona in the playoffs, which is to say Rodgers, at his best, is capable of beating a good team with his fifth option at wide receiver, which means
sure. If
your defense is better and Aaron Rodgers is still capable of doing Aaron Rodgers things, they're in the NFC Championship discussion right now, right?
Unquestioned. I think there's a pretty solid four-team grouping at the top. The 49ers, I've looked into some of the more of the advanced stats on their defense. They are, like, absurdly good through five games defensively in San Francisco. Russell Wilson leading Seattle and probably leading the NFL MVP voting at the moment. If you were to cast votes right now, it's probably Russell Wilson as your MVP. Seattle looks like a good team. You know, the Saints look like a good team, especially that they were able to survive the Drew Brees injury. And the Packers. I mean, there's a grouping there. And then, you know, a couple steps down, you have a Dallas, you have a Philadelphia, you have a Los Angeles Rams. You know, you have a Bears, you have a Vikings. But I think there's a clear cut four at the top, and I think to not consider the Packers among the elite of the NFC would be a pretty poor take, in my opinion.
The Raiders come in as one of these teams that I'm a little bit concerned about how Vegas feels. Vegas has this weird way of being very right, and they have the Raiders sort of hanging around more than I think they would in a. It's the fact that there's not this great name. There's no Khalil Mack over there. There's no Antonio Brown over there. But apparently, based on what we've seen from this Raiders team, John Gruden is maximizing what he's getting out of these Raiders. How? How's that happening?
Great question. I am not a John Gruden fan.
No, really?
I'm not. Oh, my gosh. I mean, it's nothing personal. I don't know the guy. But just, yeah, used car salesman type of head coach. You just, yeah, like he's very, you know, Kevin, he's one of those guys where it's like, hey, you know, the stats would suggest you should run this type of play. And he's the kind of guy that, ha, then I'll do the opposite just to prove your dumb analytics wrong. And, we're just not the same type of human being. Having said that, you know, and by the way, him training Khalil Mack is like his first big move, like to pick up draft picks. Like, okay, John, all right, enjoy losing. But anyway, they are getting a better return, I think, out of this early season than what anybody, at least with the last name not being Gruden, that anybody would have anticipated them getting off to. I mean, they do have an above-average league quarterback. They just gave their tight end, Darren Waller, $9 million a year per year extension. He's kind of been in that, you know, that Kittle and Kelsey level of tight end ability, which is not easy to find yourself in that caliber of name. Our friend Trevor Davis has actually been a pretty good addition for them. But all things being said, in terms of the spread and what you're talking about with, you know, sometimes when Vegas gives you that eerie feeling, I think there's two reasons for it. One, the Packers are coming off a Monday Night Football game. And, yeah, they got to stay home. You know, they didn't travel after the game. They didn't have to go. It's like they stayed right in Green Bay. But it's still tough. You know, you go from Monday at 7:30 to Sunday at noon. I mean, that's not something to completely look over. But I think more importantly is no Davante Adams, probably. It would appear no Geronimo Allison, probably. It would appear no Marquez Valdes-Scantling, probably. So can, you know, even a 5-1 Packers team against a very average-ish Raiders team, even at home, win a game when it's Jake Kumerow, Alan Lazard, Darius Shepherd, and brand newcomer Ryan Grant as your primary wide receivers? And that is, I mean, if Rodgers pulls it off, and of course he's not the only one, it's a team game, but like if he pulls off a big offensive performance, you know, with that group, and by the way, not even like Tanyan's not even going to be available. So it's like it's the Jimmy Graham, Mercedes Lewis show at tight end. And, you know, that has, you know, that's not a great duo of pass catchers, at least at this stage in their late careers respectively. But, yeah, I think that's the main reason. It's the quick turnaround for the Packers. But more importantly, most teams can't be without their top three wide receivers and win or at least put up a lot of points. And I'm sure that's the main thought process behind a somewhat tight game from a prediction standpoint.
The other thing that the Packers can do now that they couldn't do, for example, when in 2015, early 2016, when you had all these guys, these receivers that were hurt, the one thing they can do now a little more is they have built a little bit of respect for their run game. They've got Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams who have done more this year, I think, than the running backs would have done 3, 4, 5 years ago. You think that helps? And do you think Matt LaFleur, if he can't get something going from the receiving game, is comfortable leaning a little heavier on the run?
Well, absolutely. And you said gained a little bit of respect. I mean, I would argue if Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams over the past couple weeks especially haven't given the Packers a considerable amount of respect as a rushing attack, I think that would be surprising. Like, you know, honestly, if you're game planning to stop the Packers offense on Sunday and you're in Oakland, do you let Lazard, Kumerow, Shepherd, Grant beat you, knowing though that of course that means kind of sort of letting Aaron Rodgers beat you? Or do you say, you know what, Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams are not going to have a big day against us? And you know what, if Aaron Rodgers has a huge game and can turn a bunch of undrafted guys, unproven guys, guys with one good game on their resume into a winning, you know, into a winning game on a Sunday afternoon, you know, so be it, right? Because I, you know, I think the most important thing for that rushing attack that you mentioned is Aaron Jones was so good in Dallas that he's on national talk shows. He's being very much hyped as a top five running back, which he probably deserves to be in that conversation. And then he fumbles on Monday night. And then he drops a surefire touchdown that looked very much like a high school level type of play. I mean, it was a bad, ugly drop. What does Jamal Williams do in the absence of Aaron Jones having that type of game? Rushes for 104, you know, has the big highlight play at the end by sliding when he could have padded his stats a little bit to set up the Crosby field goal. So, I mean, honestly, if I'm a defensive coach in the NFL right now and I'm playing the Packers without Adams, without Allison, without Valdes-Scantling, I'm probably going to take my chances that, you know, at least if I stop the ground game and Rodgers wants to turn those guys into household names, I'll let him do that. You know, I just, it's probably a stop the run first type of approach if you're going against the Packers right now, I would think.
It's stop the run, and then on the other side of the ball, hoping to stop the run, and Kenny Clark is missed time in practice. If Kenny Clark doesn't go Sunday, is it a significant dent? I mean, is it going to be a major issue to stop the run if Kenny's not there?
Yeah, and he did return to practice today, so I mean, maybe that's going to trend on the positive side. But no doubt, I mean, because though they've picked it up a little bit recently, there's still a lot of recent film on the Packers being gashed in the run game. There's still, I'm sure, a lot of confidence from offensive coaches thinking that they can run all over the Packers. And if Kenny Clark, one of the premier interior defensive linemen in the league, would happen to be missing, or you know, plays less snaps than he would, or less efficient snaps than he otherwise would have, because Kenny Clark, unlike a lot of big defensive linemen in recent Packers history and even across the league, he's out there like 85% of the snaps. He's not one of those, you know, even when Mike Daniels was tearing up the league, he was a 40-45% of snaps guy. He was always being subbed off the field in different packages. Kenny Clark never leaves the field. If you don't have Kenny Clark, yeah, I mean, you're probably going to be gashed a little bit. And to a certain extent, you know, Mike Pettine would allow that if it means that they're stopping the pass and if they're creating turnovers and all these other things. But there's no doubt. I mean, Kenny Clark at this point, even at a young age, I think he's still only 23, is a premier, you know, top 10, top 5 interior defensive lineman. And without him, yeah, I mean, I would have no doubt that Oakland could run the ball all over Lambeau Field on Sunday.
Emig, we got just a few quick seconds. TV suggestions. You got shows for me?
Yeah, I'm going to give you two.
Hit it.
One won't apply to you because I think you've continued to fail in watching Breaking Bad, which is just crazy. But Joe and I had a really good weekend last weekend because we got to see the Breaking Bad movie, which was El Camino on Netflix. So you won't watch that yet, but you know, call me in 12 years when you've actually watched, you know, better Breaking Bad, and then maybe even Better Call Saul, and then we'll watch El Camino together, you know, in the year 2032 or something.
Paul, did you like El Camino?
You know, Joe, I loved it.
I did too.
I know you did too. Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of people were disappointed with it. I enjoyed Pinkman's story and his past and what it was like being tortured by those guys. And I really liked it.
Yeah, no, me too. And I couldn't even believe the criticism that I was hearing. I was like, really? Like, your biggest complaint about a show or about a movie is that it was maybe like fan service or it wasn't necessarily needed. If that's your biggest complaint, but it rocked otherwise, I think that's a pretty good way to spend 2 hours. The other one I'm going to give you, and I don't know if Joe has watched this, because Joe's a pretty good connoisseur of television as well. There was a show that just concluded on HBO starring Danny McBride called The Righteous Gemstone. Have you at least heard of it, Joe or Kevin?
I've heard of it. I have not seen it, though.
Oh, my gosh. It's so good. So I looked it up knowing that you were on the air today, Kevin, because I'm like, how do I explain a 9-episode first season that was just absolutely bonkers? So Danny McBride, do you know who that is, Kevin?
Yeah, that name sounds familiar.
Kenny Powers, Eastbound and Down?
There you go.
There you go. The comedy series tells the story of a world-famous televangelist family with a long tradition of deviance, greed, and charitable work. All right, that's HBO's definition for the show. It was awesome. It was crazy, and I would highly recommend The Righteous Gemstones on HBO on demand or wherever else it's available because it was great. So watch it.
I plan to get to some of this stuff, if for nothing else, and because I tend to average an Achilles injury a year, so you know I'm probably due for one soon.
I didn't know Achilles left.
I know. I have scars on the back of both now. Terrible.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to have to find some other ligament to tear.
Ugh. Or not.
Or not. Preferably not. Probably not.
Paul, always appreciated, man. Paul Emig, our Green and Gold analyst. Thanks for joining us, dude. We'll catch up soon.
All right. See you guys. See you.
Paul Emig joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. They work hard, you work hard. They treat you fair. For 80-plus years, they've been getting it done. Call them at 800-44-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.